Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040.
I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt?
I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage? What words can I speak that they will heed?
I will teach thee what thou wilt say. When thou hast brought forth the people, they shall serve me upon this mountain.
That's a scene from the 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments. Moses before the burning bush in conversation with God. So what is the promise that God is keeping to his people when he sends Moses to be their deliverer out of slavery in Egypt? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on that very account in Genesis chapters 2 and 3. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
The account begins with God's people groaning in Egypt. Why are they groaning?
They're groaning because after Joseph died, who was second in command to Pharaoh, other pharaohs came and took the place of the pharaoh that Joseph had. And unfortunately, they did not remember Joseph that well, and they put the people of Israel into slavery. And therefore, in verse 23, it says, the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and therefore he was going to come down to help them.
The story tells us God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. What does that mean?
The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that they were going to go to a new land. And here on earth, that new land was, of course, Canaan. Now, they were in Egypt, and God remembered that covenant he made. And so what he was going to do is deliver the Israelites from Egypt, cross the Red Sea, through the wilderness for 40 years, and take them to the land of Canaan, so that's how he remembered his covenant. His covenant was his agreement with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And through Abraham, and of course Isaac, and the rest, there was a line going to Jesus, who would be the Savior of the world, that God had already spoken about in Genesis 3:15 to Adam and Eve. And so God never forgets his agreement with his people. And that's what that's talking about, that he's going to deliver them from the land of Egypt and take them to the promised land. And that's something the children should know, that the land in which they live, whether it's the United States or Great Britain or Asia or wherever, is not the promised land that God has promised to Abraham. It's heaven itself, which the children should know that they are going to, primarily because of their baptism, and gives the Sunday school teachers an opportunity to see if some children haven't yet been baptized, to talk with parents and the pastor about getting them baptized.
Why was Moses in Midian at the time?
He was in Midian because he had put to death two Egyptian soldiers in trying to protect his people, and therefore he had fled to Midian, and that's where he was working with his father-in-law. He had gotten married, and therefore it was really because of fleeing from the wrath of those in Egypt after what he had done.
So, Tom, how did God appear to Moses?
He appeared to Moses, it says, in the burning bush. In fact, verse 2 is really important of chapter 3 because it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him." Now, we have studies where each time it talks about the angel of the Lord with a definite article, it's referring to the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And he appears in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And even though the bush was burning, it was not being consumed. And so Moses says, "I'm going to turn here to see this great sight, why the bush is not burning." And that's how God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. God does that a number of times in the Old Testament. He appears in something that can be seen, but it's not really God. God is not a burning bush. He's also not a cloud during the day that he led the people through the wilderness, or a burning flame of fire at night. And the Holy Spirit is not a bird, although that's how he came down to Jesus in the baptism of our Lord. And also, when we take the Lord's Supper, we're taking true bread, true wine, but in with and under that is the holy sacrament of Jesus' body and blood. So God does this a number of times, and this is what he's doing with Moses. He appears in a burning bush. He's not the bush, but Moses turns aside to see what this is all about.
What did God first say to Moses from that burning bush?
He says, "Moses, Moses," he calls his name. Moses says, "Here I am." And God says, "Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And that was a practice of the Jews, that they wouldn't wear shoes in holy areas, such as in synagogues or at the temple. And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And therefore, Jesus is making the point that there's no distinction between himself, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit.
So how does Moses respond to God's command to go down to Egypt?
Well, when the Lord tells him in verse 7 that, "I've seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, I know their suffering, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land," he's talking about Canaan, "a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and others, and that people have come to me. Now, verse 10, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, you can imagine Moses knew pretty well about how strong the Egyptian soldiers were and the might of Pharaoh. And so he asked God in verse 11, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So this is something the Sunday school children need to learn, that a lot of times they're going to be faced with situations where they're not sure they're going to be able to overcome them. But God gives them parents. He also gives them teachers. He gives them civil authorities. And there are ways to overcome what we face on this earth, especially against the devil and his evil crew. So that's something that the children need to learn, that we also question God. How does God think I'm going to get through these grades? I can't study as well as other children, etc. And so there is this questioning on the part of not only Sunday school children, but even adults, wondering from God, why did you put me in this situation? And who am I, Moses says, that I'm about to go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I don't have that ability.
Why is God's name important in this account?
Well, this is really important because Moses asks, what is your name? What am I going to say to the people of Israel? And then God says to Moses, I am who I am. Now, that's an English translation of the name of God, which is Yahweh. And we think it's spelled Y-A-W-E-H. We're not sure about the vowels because there were no vowels in the original Hebrew, but that's what we think. Now, the people of God would never say the word Yahweh, even when they were reading the Bible, and it says that. They would change it to another word for Lord, which is Adonai, because they were under the impression that even using the name of God could be a sin against the first commandment and the second commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And so they would change it. But that was his name, Yahweh. I am who I am. Now, I always like using Popeye the Sailor Man to describe that. You know, Popeye has this girlfriend, Olive Oil. And Bluto, of course, he wants to go out on a date with Olive Oil. And Popeye says, no, I've already asked her out. And Bluto says, who's going to stop me? And then Popeye says, I am who I am, and smokes twice on his pipe. What does he mean by that? He means the same thing that God, I am who I am. In other words, I like translating it this way. I fulfill what I promise. It's when I would tell my kids, well, we're going to McDonald's tomorrow, it's Saturday, and the kids say, are you sure we're going? And I could say, I am who I am. Once I make you a promise, I'm going to fulfill it. And so this is really important to understand what Yahweh means. This is my name forever, God says, because say to the people of Israel that the Lord thy God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Egypt, has sent me to you. And that's what Moses is to say to them. This is my name forever, and this I am to be remembered throughout all generations. And the Sunday school material from Concordia Publishing House, they have the verse that we're to keep in mind, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. And see, Moses just had really a problem in thinking that he was going to be able to go and deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. And that shouldn't be a problem. Anytime God puts us in a situation, he doesn't allow us to be put in a situation unless he gives us the strength to endure it, to overcome it. And that's talking about sufferings we go through, illness we go through, or even temptations from the devil. And that needs to be reminded to the Sunday school pupils.
Why couldn't Moses look at God?
Well, he couldn't look at God because it says it distinctly. Anytime, and these are good questions you ask, I better find a Bible verse to back it up. It's in chapter 3, verse 6. After God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Israel, the very next line, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And we know that's true, is a human being here on earth cannot look at God face to face. And even though God was in the midst of a burning bush, and he wouldn't be appearing to be like a human being, like Jesus did when he went and visited Abraham, still, Moses was afraid to look at God because he had realized from the rest of the Bible, remember, Moses wrote Genesis through Deuteronomy, that to be able to look at God was not possible. In fact, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, you may remember, he only saw the backside of God, and he wasn't able to look at God face to face. And that's what we're going to be able to do when we go to heaven, because we will have new bodies. And as, what is it, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives, and I will see him face to face. But at this point, no, there is that fear that we are not to look at God. And so that's why Moses didn't do that.
What did God command Moses to say to his people when he got to Egypt?
He says to the people, say this, I am has sent me to you. Now, there's part of the name of God. I am who I am. God also said to Moses, also say, the Lord, the God of your fathers, reminding them again of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Therefore, talking to Moses, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise, that's a really important word here, I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, a land flowing with milk and honey. This word promise is important. The Sunday school teacher should remind the children who were baptized that God made a promise to them in their baptism, that not only would he never leave them nor forsake them while they were here on earth, but when they fall asleep in the flesh, God will take their spirit to be with him, and on the day of judgment will re-raise their bodies from the ground or for wherever they have been and rejoin them in heaven to live in that land which he had promised to Abraham, which is nothing but heaven itself.
What did God command Moses to say to the king of Egypt?
Yes, you shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, and this is verse 18 of chapter 3, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now, please let us go on a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And then God says, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. And so God promises that he's going to stretch out his hand and strike Egypt with a number of wonders that I will do to it. And after that, he will let you go. And so once more, God is making a promise to Moses that the people will come out of Egypt, but it's going to be after, and we know this as the 10 plagues. And what's really interesting about each plague, like the waters of the Nile turned to blood, is that they are against the gods of Egypt. They had a god of the Nile and a god of the frogs and a god of the gnats and all this. And God used their own belief in their gods to give them these plagues that really, finally, Moses was told by Pharaoh, all right, you can leave Egypt. And that's after the last plague, which was the death of the oldest male in the household, whether a human being or an animal. And that was Pharaoh's own son. And that's why he let the people go.
What promise did God make to Moses about how the people would come out of Egypt?
That they would come out of Egypt, that they would not go empty, but any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold and jewelry and for clothing, they would receive from the Egyptians. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. And that's the last verse in chapter 4. So God makes a promise. Not only are they going to leave Egypt, but they're going to leave it with quite a bit of wealth from the Egyptians, who are going to be very happy to see them go after these terrible 10 plagues had taken place.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law and gospel is that we too often do not believe that God is with us. We may be going through a time of suffering or sickness or something, and pastors have often been asked, what did I do to deserve this? And the answer is, what didn't you do? The fact of the matter is, the law always comes to us in a way that reminds us that we need a Savior and a Redeemer. And that great love has been given to us in the plan of salvation that God made from before the creation of the world, that he fulfilled. Remember, I am who I am. And the promise to Abraham and to Adam and Eve was fulfilled through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of his beloved firstborn son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. That is the good news that children need to hear from the Sunday school teachers.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Speaking of children, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the Tree of Life Family Activity Book. It's intended to be used in the home, but in conjunction with the other families in your congregation. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Lyman Stone's going to be alongside. We're going to talk about religious attendance and birth rates. He says there's a gap there, but it doesn't necessarily mean a bright demographic future for the religious. Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission. to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.